Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to dig back into the 2026 USA softball rules. We left off last time. We were running exceptionally long. We underestimated appeals and the complexity of it. And so we cut off right in the middle of appeals. And now we're going to jump back in here with appeals on, quote, for Part G, more than one appeal.
Yeah, so more than one appeal play may be made, but guessing should not be allowed. So as an example, the runner misses second base by a step, but just touches the corner of third base. Even though an appeal is made at third base and the umpire called the runner safe, an appeal may be made at second base on the same runner.
We talked about this a little bit earlier too on that episode with the game-winning hit issue. It's like person came in, made an appeal about the runner leaving the base path, you know, and then that was it. But then the appeal they actually wanted was, did the runner not touch second? So it was a force out.
Right.
So as you can't guess, the person said, oh, I'm appealing third base. And you go, safe at third. But since you're appealing, I'm going to consider all appeals simultaneously out at second.
Right. Yeah. No. So please don't do that. H says awards. An appeal should be honored even if the base missed was before or after an award. So that makes perfect sense, right? Mm-hmm. So we got a ball out of play. I awarded two bases. You have to go, you know, if you were at first and you get third, you have to touch second. And if they miss second, it was, you know, yep, you missed it.
Yep. So and we talked about that a little bit earlier. That's where coming in where the runner can't go back and fix their appeal if they had completed their appeal runs. So
yes,
if the award on the appeal gave you third base and you're now touching third base, you can no longer go back and fix that you didn't touch first.
Right. But they would have to appeal that you missed second.
Yeah.
Or you just get away with it.
Yep.
Right. So I, plate and tag missed. This is a fun one. So if a runner misses home plate and the catcher misses the tag, the umpire should hesitate slightly. If no tag is made, the umpire should call the runner safe. If an appeal play is made by tagging the runner or home plate, the umpire should then render a decision.
Yeah, makes sense. Perfect. So you go through, it's always the thing. If a runner passes a base, they're assumed to have touched the base, except by proper appeal. So they passed home, the tag was missed. So we're definitely a safe kind of situation. We're waiting. And then, okay, safe. That was that.
Yeah, here's the difference in so for you NC2A umpires that are coming back to USA softball here, notice that it says hesitate slightly. If no tag is made, that's no subsequent tag, right? Because it says
he missed the tag.
It already says the tag was missed. If no subsequent tag is made, I added subsequent, the umpire should call the runner safe. Mm-hmm. Tag was missed. So no
live ball appeal.
Right.
At least in that case, no initial live ball appeal.
Yep, exactly. But you are going to say to sign safe. In NC2A, unless I'm mistaken, there's no sign. No sign given. So and then it may be different also if there is a no tag attempted.
Right.
Right. Where there's definitely no sign given.
You wouldn't get a sign.
Tag attempted. Right. Okay. So somebody can at me on that. I got an idea about a couple people that might. So we'll see. We may have to fix that one, Pete, or apologize for it. We'll see. All right. What's J?
Force out. When an appeal is the third out and a force out, no run shall score.
Ooh. Been there, done that.
The force is reinstated when a force runner retreats towards the base first occupied, and they may be put out if the defense tags the runner or the base to which they are forced. When the batter runner is put out prior to reaching first base, all force outs are eliminated. On an appeal play, the force out is determined when the appeal is made, not when the fraction is incurred. Therefore, if the batter runner or trailer runner is put out prior to an appeal, the out on the appeal will not be considered a force out.
Aha. So it's about the timing of the appeal. There's another one where I'm going to let some of my NCAA guys get at me or get after me on it, because I think this too is different in the NC2A. The appeal is applied, even though it's asked for after, it's the timing of it is applied at when it happened during the play for NC2A. This seems to say it's not.
No, the timing, it becomes its own timing. So you can't appeal and then go and like touch and then go touch second base because you put some force in place because this runner's out and this person shouldn't be there and they're this and I've now created this double play situation because I got this retroactive. No, it's just saying, okay, they're out now.
Right.
Now what?
Okay, cool. I like it. Tag ups. So when a runner leaves a base too soon on a caught fly ball and returns in an attempt to retouch, this is considered a time play and not a force out. When the appeal is the third out, all runs scored in advance of the appealed runner and prior to the legal appeal count. Makes sense. So it's not a force anymore, right? It's a tag up play and it's timing. And so whenever you get her, if anybody crossed the plate before that, they count. So it's not a force anymore. Makes sense to me. I'm good with that one. What about L?
Missing first base before the throw arrives. When a runner passes first base before the throw arrives, they are considered to have touched the base unless properly appealed. Hey, you said that. On appeals involving the double base, when the batter runner touches the white rather than the contrasting colored portion and a play is made, the same procedure applies. When an appeal is made in both situations, it must be made prior to the runner returning to first base while the ball is live, with an exception that if a play is being made from first base foul territory or an errant or missed throw pulls the defensive player, we talked about this, yada, yada, it's just when they could touch the white portion instead. And then that's considered missing the base if they touch the wrong one there.
Yeah, that's right. And so one of the things I think about in this is, did she miss first base when she went through? Yeah, but now she's standing on it.
Right.
So she hasn't missed it now.
Right. Yeah, you've got to appeal in that short amount of time. What I assume is a short amount of time between her, say she's running, right? She steps once in front of the bag. She steps again over the bag.
Yep.
And then she runs somewhere into short right field, turns around, returns to the base and is now standing on it. There's never a chance. We're done. Assuming the ball has not gotten to the bag at that point.
Yeah. And this is one of those where you have a coaching moment here. This is how you coach your first base players. Mm-hmm. Because in this very situation that they described, the batter runner has passed first base. And if they touched the white one only and the play was normal, or they missed everything and just kept going, and then the ball gets there from the shortstop and your first base player is touching first base and has the ball in her mitt, you could think that she's out. And she is. If you look at the umpire and say, she missed first, this is a live ball appeal. She's out, right? You're standing on the bag with the ball. You appealed her live ball. She's out. But only if you ask for it, right? Because it's not, that happens every single time that a batter runner beats out a throw. And what this addresses is they missed the base. You can't, they're not automatically out because they missed the base. They're assumed to have touched it. So you have to appeal it. You have to let that umpire know that you're appealing. All right. Now, one that's very interesting to me, because I just really don't get this concept of fourth out appeals. So I'm going to learn today. So M, a fourth out appeal is an appeal may be made after the third out of the inning, as long as it is made properly. Okay. The appeal must be made on a runner who has scored but missed a base or left a base too soon. So here's an example. One out with runners on first and third. The batter hits a fly ball that is caught. Two outs. Both runners leave their base before the caught ball is touched. An appeal is made at first base for the third out. The defense then makes an appeal at third base before all infielders have left the field. The runner on third base should be called out and the run does not count.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't you just appeal the one at third?
Because you didn't.
Just because you didn't.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, you end up with a case where it's they appeal the one at first because maybe that's the first one they saw. The person, because remember,
first base was yelling, hey.
Yeah, any person could do it. The ball maybe went to that direction, kind of is on that side of the field. So it goes to that one first. That's the person that's loudest, and the right fielder hears that and throws it in, and that's where the ball goes. Out. You didn't just get jobbed out of the guy at third going home. You can just pitch it over there too, or make that a bit. The ball's, if it's still alive or dead, doesn't matter. Well, you can say, hey, I'm appealing over there at third then.
Okay.
And then you get that quote unquote fourth out because now you have called the runner. There was two outs. After the catch, you've got first and third both called out, third out and fourth out. But you only do that so that the runner no longer has status and can't have scored.
Yeah, I got you. That makes sense to me. And then also, it becomes a scoring thing as well, right? I mean, a book scoring thing, not a run scoring thing, right? How many outs did you get? How many runners left on base? You know, that kind of stuff.
It's
different now.
And that was, this one was in, it actually has happened even in Major League Baseball. It happened to my Pittsburgh Pirates. Yeah.
You just submitted that online.
Yeah. So someone had actually done it, happened in the game with the professionals where fourth out appeal and yet no one got it. Some of the announcers didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
But later on at ESPN, it was a thing where they had to explain it and break it down.
Did they get it right?
Eventually.
Okay. The last one here, end of game. When a situation arises that could lead to an appeal by the defense on the last play of the game, umpire should wait until all infielders have crossed the foul line on their way to the dugout before leaving the infield. If teams line up for high fives, there is little chance for an appeal. Even if the infielders have not crossed the foul line, umpires should leave the field at this time. No appeal can be made once the umpires leave the field. Big judgment call. Is there an appealable play? Look around, watch the coaches. They're not even talking about it. Okay, they're lining up. Yep, we're out. Peace and love.
Yeah, you can kind of tell when somebody's getting themselves set, maybe grabbing something to come with you or whatever. Yeah. If they're tossing their clipboard on the bench and they're standing in single file behind all the players that go give their good games, they're not coming to you.
Yeah, we're pretty much done. And now, you know, USA softball, a little different than, you know, the stuff that's on TV. You're seeing them now, you know, hey, call upstairs and see if we should appeal that. You know, kind of wait. That's why we have a time limit. Pete, that went pretty quick. So let's talk a little bit about the ball rotation procedure, too. So it's a little different in USA softball. Local associations sometimes use the same ball rotation procedure that's used in championship play. They should, in my opinion. It's, there shouldn't be a difference. You're at a tournament, championship play. I love that quote that, you know, USA Softball does. But the pitcher has a choice of which ball to use at the start of each half inning. However, if both balls do not get into play in the first half of the first inning, the pitcher in the bottom half must throw the unused ball. No choice is offered. Important piece to this. And as a base umpire, you can help your plate umpire remember this. If the ball never left the field of play in the top of the first inning, when you trot over there to the pitcher's plate to do your duty of cleaning off the pitcher's plate, ask, roll the ball into your partner. Mm-hmm. I need the other one, right? So that's the ball rotation piece. And then also, I would say, and I've seen this happen here in Central Ohio with some of the umpire crews, they don't like the idea of letting a pitcher pick which ball they want at the beginning of an inning. It's like, no, that ball's fine. And it's like, no, she's allowed to pick. The rules say she may pick at the beginning. Now, there's some other stuff to think about in that. And one of them is that the current game ball should be used until it goes out of play or becomes unplayable. When the ball goes out of play, the umpire should put another ball in play and the pitcher must pitch with that ball unless the ball is deemed unplayable by the umpire. Different from NC2A, we've seen Mike have a fun exchange with a pitcher, you know, in the NC2A about, you know, she keeps throwing the ball in, wants a different one, wants a different one, wants a different one. Mm-hmm. He's looking at him. They're fine. You know, we want the pitchers to be comfortable. So, you know, yeah, we'll put up with a little bit of that, you know, until it got egregious. And it's like, no, she's using that one. Coach, she's using that ball. That's how it's going to work. There's nothing wrong with it. So we're going to make that happen. So what about C here, Pete?
Yeah. So if the pitcher requests another ball because it's unplayable, give them another ball and remove the unplayable ball from the game. Do not give the pitcher a choice of balls when nothing is wrong with the ball. A lot of times, I mean, in my experience, I haven't seen a lot of people really mess around with balls like that and switch out. It's usually a wet ball situation. And you toss it out. It's exactly what you do. You toss a ball out of play, give it to a coach. He dries it off, and then you cycle it back into the next opportunity.
Yep.
But yeah, if it's unplayable, give him another ball. But then that ball needs to leave the game.
We're done. Either it's for unplayable for her or him.
Yeah. If it's unplayable, it's unplayable. If it's not unplayable, you know, play with it.
Yep. And after an inning is completed, the ball should be returned to the vicinity of the pitcher's plate by the team leaving the field. The pitcher taking the field now has a ball with which to start the next half inning. The pitcher may request another ball from the plate umpire, and the plate umpire should give them another ball after receiving a ball from the pitcher. The pitcher now has made their choice and must pitch with that ball.
Yeah. And that is unless the thing earlier where that the original ball was, assuming you only have two balls, right?
Yep.
A ball was not used, put in half in the first half of the inning.
First half of the inning.
Yep. Then you got to, sorry, we got to do this one.
And it's first half of the first inning.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You don't keep doing that.
Yeah.
And I would also add this before we move to our social media post. I would add this. When a ball goes out of play, I think it's a good habit to get into is to make sure that ball passes through the plate umpire's hands. I don't like balls that have been out of play coming in from the audience, the spectators, and going straight to the pitcher. Like, what ball did they throw back?
Right.
Did they throw back one of the practice balls out of their bucket, or did they throw me a game ball?
Yeah.
Give me that ball. So you should always have enough balls in that when a ball goes out of play, you're throwing a ball to the pitcher or handing a ball to the catcher, even better.
Yeah.
I don't throw the ball to the pitcher either. So you're handing a ball to put into play to the catcher. And balls that come in from outside of the field of play should pass through your hands and go into your ball bag, or if you actually need it. And sometimes it happens, you know, you got foul ball, foul ball, foul ball. Oh my gosh, you know. So anyway, you should touch them.
Yeah. And so for our social media post today, it's not USA, but it is for summer. So this is a question specifically being asked into the Ask the Softball Umpires group. And so someone says, UTRIP. So USSSA, are there rules about who can throw warm-up pitches between innings? Opponent had their third base, who was not the pitcher of record, throw two pitches. I doubt the opponent had the person do it. The player probably just picked it up and did it. And then their pitcher of record from the prior inning threw the last three.
Interesting.
So in that case, there were five pitches thrown by two different people. Is there a problem with that, with what occurred?
Wow. I don't know. So let's see, UTRIP, I don't know their rules at all. So I assume, Pete, you've looked up the rule or somebody in the group did.
So we got an answer here from Richard K. Beals, who said they have 60 seconds between innings to throw not more than five. You don't have to throw five.
Right.
Not more than five. No rule about who throws them.
Okay.
And so our buddy Brett from around here, Brett Stumpf.
Oh, yeah.
Columbus area or Ohio area. Some brands of baseball have a rule that if someone throws warmer pitches, even gets in the pitcher's plate, they become the new pitcher. It's one of those rules that's kind of gained rule miss status, et cetera, et cetera. But for softball, a pitcher is not in the game until they're reported to the plate umpire or they take their pitching position when the ball is live. So
right.
For us, it doesn't matter. The rule is about warm-up pitches being thrown. We don't care by who.
Right.
It doesn't make them. It's not an automatic substitution. It's not a cheat around talking to Blue and getting us to make a change on our lineup card. We don't just run a person out there and have them throw pitches.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But what you don't get to do is you have your third base, because the pitcher was on base last time and they went inside and they got to get their brace on and do
whatever. So they throw three and then the pitcher comes out and throws five.
Yeah. And then that can't happen. You stop the pitcher after two in that case.
Right.
Okay. Or those pitches start becoming balls.
Yep. That makes sense. Yeah. And I know we've done it because it's just funny. Like, oh, my shortstop. Oh, let me pitch.
Those come out. An outfielder on the way out will grab it and throw a pitch that goes to the backstop or whatever. And ha ha ha.
Yeah.
And then just go on. Yeah. But that was one.
It is one. Yeah. If you should count it. Yeah. For sure. Well, I like that. That's a good one.
And it especially pops in one of those myths. It's one of those things that people say all the time. Everyone repeats because they think it's a thing, but it's not a thing. And you're more likely to encounter it at lower levels. You're doing some rec ball, something like that, unless your rec ball league has a supplement. But if you guys are playing straight, UTRIP in this case, but USA is no different.
Right. And you said the word myth, and my head immediately went to all of those hands that are sold with the bats at Dick's.
Yes.
So all the bats that are, the ones with hands on them are over here because the hands are part of the bat. So you go to that rack at Dick's. Wait a minute. There is no rack at Dick's that has hands on the bat. Hands are not part of the bat. Hands are part of the body. So another myth busted. All right, Pete, I think that's what we have. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yep. Until next time.